Through the years and through the ramp.
Through the years,
you made it clear that the time of Christ,
that the time of Christ was near.
But the people,
though the people could not see
what Messiah ought to be,
though your word contained the plan,
but
they just couldn't understand.
Oh,
your most awesome work was done.
Hallelujah.
Through the frailty of your son,
El Shaddai. Oh, sing it to him.
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai.
El Elyon.
El Elyon. Adonai.
Age to
age. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai. Worship you, the only true God, the only wise God, the God that is more than enough, the ever faithful God. What more shall we say, Father? We humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. We enter your word with reverence. I ask for fresh unction from heaven, from you, Father, upon my heart, upon my lips, that I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Put the same unction that you put on my heart and my lips upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further praise as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in great and insufficient measure to back up these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring another treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed into the kingdom, unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said,
Amen.
I have... Keep playing that very quietly in the background. You can program it quietly, quietly. I have entitled, this is an instructional message. It's instructional and prophetically contextual. That means it is an instruction that we need to fulfill the present truth prophetic messages that have been coming in the past few weeks. I've spoken about imitating Jesus to become sons and disciples. I've spoken about the manifestation of the sons of God. I've spoken about prayer and the ministry of angels. And last week I spoke about raising God's standard. And so to fulfill all of these prophetic truths that are presently being fulfilled as we speak, you need this particular instruction. And it's entitled, Increasing Your Fear of God. When I was preparing, the Holy Spirit said, don't say increasing the fear of God. Say increasing your. Make it personal. It is a message to each of us as individuals. I know you fear God. If you're born again, child of God, of course you have some fear of God. But the level of our fear of God needs to increase in the light of the present prophetic truths that we are living in. I shared with us last week that we are living in a prophetic trilogy of Isaiah 59, Isaiah 60, and Isaiah 61. We are presently in Isaiah 59. We're actually in verse 19, where the standard of God is being raised up. And has not been fully raised up yet, but it's not on the ground anymore. It's being raised up. I gave the illustration of the Marines, the U.S. Marines at the Battle of Iwo Jima in Japan in the 1945, you know, or 44, I think it was 44, 45, you know, where they were raising up the American flag. It was a bloody battle. And the first time they did, the flag fell down. So some U.S. Marines ran to the top of the hill. It's one of the iconic pictures that you will find in U.S. Marine literature. You know, and these brave boys went there and they took the flag and they began to raise it up. And a photographer took it, and there's even a statue of it that has been made. And we're in a similar position today spiritually, where we're raising up God's standard. And once that standard is raised, like I shared last week, it's going to cause the Redeemer will come to Zion, the Spirit without measure will come to those who are in full maturity and perfection. Then it will come to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, which is the borrowed anointing for those who are following after them. And then there will also be, and this excites me, you know, there's going to be a universal outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you know, upon our sons and daughters, young men, old men. You know, what happened in the house of Cornelius as an isolated event back in the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter went there and he just preached, you know, God didn't even let him finish. You know, once he just got to the place that Jesus came and all of that, the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on them and they began to speak in tongues and they prophesied, you know, and they got born again simultaneously. Now, what happened in that event as an isolated event in the house of Cornelius is going to be repeated millions of times all over the earth as this standard is raised, as the Spirit without measure becomes released on the church. Then all over the world, this is going to be typical. People will be listening to a message like this on YouTube, on the internet. They may be listening to it in Japan. They may be listening to it in North Africa, in Morocco. They may be listening to it in China. They may be listening to it in Russia, wherever. Because now technology already exists, you know, where you can listen to my message in your own language. You can do it on Google, you know. You can get it, you know. And we're working on that too, to make it, you know, directly available in any language. You can just press a button and, you know, even though I'm speaking in English, there'll be a dub. It will come out in German or Chinese or French or whatever. And as they're listening to the message, we will not be there physically. We will not be there. There will be remote places, Iceland, you know, wherever, you know. As they are listening to the message and their hearts are right, the Holy Ghost will fall on them. No human intervention. They will get born again. They'll get filled with the Holy Ghost simultaneously. They will speak in tongues. There'll be nobody there with them. I will not be there. You will not be there. They'll get filled with the Holy Spirit. They will get vision and revelation. And they will take off. Oh, great things are coming. Thanks for that one or two claps. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. Many of our sons and daughters, both biological, because if you look at that scripture, it is so pregnant prophetically. You know, it says your sons and your daughters. You see, God knew that in our day, the spirit of Babylon would have infected some of our children because of the prevailing negative spiritual climate that would exist in this time. It's one of the reasons why he's coming in. He said it's because the enemy has come in like a flood. But as a bigger flood, the Spirit of God is raising a standard against him. And what's going to happen is that that Holy Ghost, they'll be in the privacy of their rooms or their homes or wherever they are all over the world, and the Holy Ghost will fall on them. And then they will have visions and they will have revelations. And by the time they come out from those visions and revelations, they will no longer be sons and daughters. They will become handmaidens and servants. Oh, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. God is doing great things. So now, it is crucial that you increase your personal fear of God. Now, what is the fear of God? It is an awesome, everybody scream awesome. I didn't hear you. Do you know, turn to your neighbor and say, do you know what awesome is? Something that keeps you in suspense. When you see it, awesome. It is an awesome reverence. Not just reverence. I was inspired by the Spirit of God as I prepared this message. And I prayed fear of God over the years, you know. But this is the same thing, but it's with more clarity, with greater revelation, and greater sense of urgency. It is an awesome reverence for God based on the evidence of his awesome wisdom and power as we see it in creation. Professor Lokpare just finished a conference on brain. You know, he's a veterinary professor. So they came from Harvard all over the world to do a lecture to do a conference for the students here, you know. And so I went, you know, we were using the hub in UI. So I went a few days ago. So he asked me to say a few words to the people, which I did. So then I was going to sit down, minding my own business. And he said, Pastor, please pray. I said, this is an academic environment. They may not really understand all of that. But since he gave me permission, you know, so I said, okay, I will pray. But before I prayed, I now spoke to them for a few minutes. And I want to share some of those. I said, I would say, awesome reverence for God based on the evidence of his awesome wisdom and power as seen in creation. So I said to them, it is very popular among scientists to deny the existence of God. See some of the rich men, some of the great scientists, engineers who are doing great things. I won't mention any names. You know, they will say, oh, you know, I don't believe in God. I don't pray. So I said to them, I said, I'm who speak to you. I am a scientist by training. I have a first degree in physics. I have a second degree in solid-state physics. I study communication engineering. And I also have a PhD in computational theoretical physics. So I'm not the dodo next door. And I certainly understand and appreciate science and technology. But I said to them, I said, if you truly are honest, Scientists should be the people who believe in God the most. Because the evidence of God and His creation is overwhelming. And I gave them a few examples. You know, some of them I didn't say them. I'll just quickly say them. The first one is, and I'm going to use scripture because the scriptures point to these evidences. The book of Romans says that the invisible things of Him are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. That's a foundational scripture. Then let's look at some of them. Number one, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The cosmos, what we call the universe, which are the planets that are rotating around our own sun in this small solar system. You know, when you're looking at things on a gigantic scale, you know, where we are is just one tiny speck. Our solar system, our sun is a medium-sized star. It's not a big star. It's called a yellow star. In astronomy, we have, you know, yellow star. We have different kinds of stars. We have red giants. We have white dwarfs, all kinds of, you know. So this sun that is now, you know, in our backyard here, it's just a medium-sized star. It's called a yellow star. And all our planets, the Earth, Mars, you know, and all of Venus, Jupiter, and all of those, you know, they are revolving around the sun in elliptical orbits with mathematical precision. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. That's awesome. And I said to them, I said, let's put the Bible on one side. Let's put God temporarily on one side. You can't see that kind of precision arrangement. And then you now tell me it happened by chance. You must be a fool. It's not an insult. But as if that was not enough, the Bible then goes on to say that we are fearfully, Psalm 139, and wonderfully made. At the time David wrote that thing, he had a revelation of it in his heart, you know, the Holy Ghost, but he really didn't know what he was talking about. He just knew that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he said, and my soul knoweth it right well. He knew it deep inside, but he could. But now, many thousands of years later, with the development of science and technology, DNA that is inside the human cell is a mathematical computer sequence that outstrips anything any computer scientist has written thus far and will ever write. I can say that boldly. They can try, but they will never get there. Because it was written by the master programmer himself. Give him a Lord clap offering. The Lord a clap offering. The master programmer. You know, I did a little bit of computer science myself. You know, we physicists are very proud. We invented computer science. We invented it. It's the truth. We invented it. You know, then the computer scientists took over and then write more programs. We created it to solve our own problem. Yeah. So anyway, the master programmer. Do you know how precise DNA is? It predicts the color of your eyes, your hair, the way your whole anatomy comes about. Just tweak it a little bit and it will change. That's why today in courts of law, DNA evidence is accepted as foolproof. If you go to a place and you commit a crime and you say you are not there, and then they take a sample of either your spit or something, and you know, and they take something from the crime scene, all they have to do is find out if the DNA matches. Once it matches, they will convict you. Because you know why? There is no other human being on the earth forever. Thank you, Pastor Gwega. That can ever have or replicate your DNA to that degree of precision. Give the Lord another clap offering. Then one dodo, please forgive me. I'm just like Jesus. Jesus said, thou fool. So I'm just doing that. And Paul said the same thing. So the Holy Ghost, so Holy Spirit too can say the same thing. Some dodo will not get up and say, I said this to the scientists. I said, you now say that all those, that DNA, it happened by inorganic. Pastor Gwega is laughing. He did microbiology. You know, inorganic molecules like carbon and nitrogen and oxygen, that they just, by random chance, you know, they just arrange themselves. So, and then they form the DNA molecule that is all by random chance and natural selection. Thou fool. There's a guy called Sir Frederick Hoyle. I think he's dead now. He was an atheist for years. Didn't believe in God. He went to Oxford or Cambridge, one of these top, you know. Don't believe in God. So when DNA was discovered and everything, some of them sat down together and decided to calculate the probability of those inorganic molecules, you know, arranging themselves by so-called random selection. You know, even their arguments defeat themselves. By the time you say selection, you already assume an intelligence. Otherwise, what gives you the criteria to select? Give the Lord another clap offering. Hey, we're fools, you know. It's the truth. So, Frederick Hoyle, he made this calculation. He discovered that if you were to just, you know, just assume that it was right, and do the probability, you know, that the carbon will come here and oxygen will come here and nitrogen will come here and they will arrange themselves and all of that. When he finished the calculation of the nucleus of a cell, the probability was 1 over 10 to power 40. 10 to power 40 is 10 times 10 times 10, 40 times. It is called zero. You know what? He became a Christian. Give him a clap offering. Smart man. He looked at the fact, he said, there is no way this could have happened without an intelligent creator. But I go a step further, and then I get to my message. I'm just preparing you the ground so that you will fear God. How many people are beginning to fear God more now? I'm preparing the ground. So I went a step further. I said, let's even assume that the molecules came together and it didn't. But let's just assume. Where did the molecule come from? Where did the carbon come from? Where did the oxygen come from? Where did the nitrogen come from? Where did the electron that revolves around the nucleus come from? Where did the proton come from? Where did the neutron come from? Where did the quarks that form the inside of the protons and the neutrons come from? And then they arrange themselves in such a way that it now form carbon, it now form oxygen, it now form, we call it in the, you know, you do elementary chemistry, called electronic configuration. Just by arrangement, one arrangement gives you carbon, another arrangement gives you oxygen, another arrangement gives you nitrogen. Bro. So where did they come from? Who told them how to arrange themselves? Who told them that positive charge and positive charge will repel, negative and something we attract? Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Put the Bible aside and just use your brain and be honest. Those things, they couldn't just exist of their own.
an intelligent creator created them in the particular configuration in which they are formed. Even before we get to DNA. So,
let's go back to the Bible now. You know what Paul said? He said, the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood, this thing I'm telling you now, by the things that are made,
so that you, man,
you are without excuse. Give the Lord a clap offering. Now, I'm talking about the fear of God now.
Therefore,
I quote the great apostle, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art. If you go to hell, it's your fault too. That there is God cannot be contested. Anybody who says otherwise is a fool and is dishonest. From what I've just shared with you. And you cannot fault that argument. It's infallible. You see intelligence in creation, and you say it just happened. Let's get back to the message.
Fear. The fear of God is an awesome reverence for God based on evidence of his awesome wisdom and power as seen in creation. It is also, and this is one we quote and pray from every day, based on the certainty of his judgment and chastening if we disobey his laws, and the security of his mercy when we obey. Now, there's an aspect of the fear of the Lord I have not spoken about with emphasis in recent times. And that's the one I want to zero in on for this message. Furthermore, the practical evidence of your personal fear of God is evidenced by the degree to which you obey his instructions. See, you can say, I fear God with your mouth. But if you really fear God, if you have that degree of reverence for his awesome wisdom and his awesome power, you will be quick to obey his instructions. Because you will know he knows far more than you. And that his instructions will be for your benefit, and your disobeying to the instructions will be to your detriment. God is too wise. He is too powerful. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 33. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 33. Am I helping anybody here? I think, you know, this introduction was very, because people need to fear God. I fear God, though. I don't say that religion. I'm telling you fact. I fear God. The word fear, I don't fear like a terrorist, you know, or fear. No, a reverence. An awesome reverence. When I see the kind of things that he has done, there's a great respect I have for God. The way I read my Bible now is very different. When I read anything now, I know it means something. I may not understand it all, because the person that wrote this thing, give him another clap offering. On Wednesday, we were here in School of Perfection, and we're teaching from Jesus' crucifixion. There's another message I'm preparing. It's called God Rules in the Affairs of Men. Maybe I'll do it next week, I don't know. The soldiers were at the cross. They crucified him. Then they saw his nice clothes. Jesus had nice clothes. He had a coat that was woven without seams. And even his internal clothes were good. They took the inner cloth, they tore it into four. They used as a scarf or something, because it's very fine, very fashionable. So they parted it amongst themselves. Then when they got the coat, because the coat was of such top quality, they said, don't let's tear this one. Let us cast lots
so that, you know, whoever gets it, you know, because to it would be destructive to spoil such a beautiful coat, that it might be fulfilled. Thousands of years before Jesus was born, David, writing in Psalm 22, he, with precision, he said that they took my clothes and then they parted it, and for my cloak they cast lots to the tea. Give him another clap offering. And then you won't fear that kind of person. You won't fear him. If you don't fear him, you're a fool. So when I read the Bible now, this the choir was singing a few minutes ago, and thank God for lovely ministration, that song El Shaddai. You know, and it was saying that through the years, God made it clear that the time of Christ was near. But the people could not see what Messiah ought to be. Though his word contained the plan, yet they could not understand. I'm going to stop there. And God told me, he said, it was true then, it's true today. You see, we often think of when Jesus came the first time. This second time that he's coming, through the years, God made it clear that the time of the second return of Christ was near. But the people could not see what Messiah, the fullness of Christ, the perfection of Christ in us, ought to be. Though the word contains the plan, history is repeating itself again. Yet they could not understand. As we were singing, all that just downloaded to me. He said, didn't it just happen that first time? It's happening again today. They don't understand that his most awesome work was done through the frailty of his first son at the cross, and of his sons now from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia that don't have anything. Those that are nothing, he's now doing the plan through them. The frailty, a place, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? History is repeating itself. I just free of charge. Proverbs 15:33. You know, I take the Bible very seriously now because it is written by the most intelligent person in the universe. I don't just read it, you know. I read maybe like 7 verses, 13 verses max a day for each chapter, you know. Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs, you know, the Gospels and all that. When I get to a scripture, I pause. So, Holy Ghost, what are you saying here? I've come to realize that the book is coded from top to bottom. Are you listening to me? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Am I talking to anybody here? Woo! If you're excited, scream. Verse 33, let's read it together. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Are you listening to me? If you don't obey instruction, you don't fear God. I don't care what you say with your mouth. Let's paraphrase that. The degree to which you are obeying instruction is the degree to which you really fear God. If you really fear God. Because you will know that these instructions were not written by men. Yes, human vessels were used, but they came from God. And he said, zero in. He said, particularly, there are 2 sets of instructions that I have given to you in the last many years, but zeroed in these last few messages. We spoke about manifestation of sons of God, you know, prayer and the ministry of angels, imitating Jesus to become sons and disciples. There are 2 outstanding instructions I want to put you into remembrance. I'm talking about the fear of God, and you should increase your fear of God. Number one, taken from imitating Jesus. The Bible says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and he was in heard that he feared. If you fear God, you will obey that instruction. You will practice it. You don't have to be perfect at it initially, but you will accept it wholeheartedly and start practicing it with prayer. You will ask yourself these pertinent questions. Am I doing this daily? Is it strong crying and tears? Is it fervent? Am I doing it with the attitude and the reverence of God? Then, that's one. The second instruction is, you know, Jesus said two things. He said, take up your cross daily. That's the praying in the spirit. He said, and follow me. The word follow is the Greek word mimetes, which means to imitate. Now, what did Jesus do when he was on earth? He said, I do always things that are pleasing. How did he do that? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm talking about instruction. The fear of God. If we fear God, and what I'm preaching to you and teaching you is a prophetic, you know, instructional message, you know, is to increase. I know you fear God to some degree, but I want to step it up. And I'll tell the reason why before I close. Look at Deuteronomy. Most of us are familiar with Hebrews 5:7 and Ephesians 6:18, so I'm not going to go over there. But this Deuteronomy, I want to go. We are familiar with it, but I want to emphasize it again. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is what Jesus did when he was here. Somebody came to ask him a question. They said, what is the great commandment of the law? Jesus didn't hesitate, because it's what he did every day. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy strength and with all thy soul, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two hang all the prophets. And he did not hesitate. If you're following him, that's what you should be doing. So, in Deuteronomy 6, this is where he quoted it from. You know, he said, hear, O Israel. But let's go to verse 5. Say, everybody, I want you to say it with your mouth. Say, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of thy heart. You see our problem? When we're worshiping today, it's the joy of my desire. And the Lord, not every time that happens to me, but you know, this word came to me. He said, what is the degree of your desire for me? You know, most people don't desire Jesus above everything. They say with their mouth, but they don't. People desire their home, their marriage, their children, their ambition, their money, their wealth above Jesus. That's why he told us this morning. He said, when your desire for me gets above your desire for every other thing, then you will start seeing me manifest. You will start seeing me show things to you that you've never seen before. I know you love God, but is it with all your heart? And with all thy soul. Someone say, what's the difference between heart and soul? I'll tell you. We're talking about spirit, soul, and body here. The heart there is the spirit. You know, soul is mind, will, and emotions. Might is physical body. Let's say, everybody, let's read it again together. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of thy heart, and with some of thy soul, and with some of thy might. This is instruction. The fear of God is the instruction of wisdom. Verse 6. And these words. I didn't hear you. Don't your neighbor say, what words? Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. You know, those are the words. Which I command thee this day. I didn't hear you. Shall be in thy heart. This man is not playing around. It's Moses who wrote it, but it is God who put it in for Moses to write. He said, the fear of God is the instruction of wisdom. Thou shalt teach them lazily, slothfully, occasionally,
I'm deliberately using those adjectives because many people, that's how they treat the word of God. And the same people come around and say they fear God. You don't fear God.
Let me correct that so I'm not too hard. You don't fear God enough. We're talking about increasing your fear of God. I know you fear God. But to what degree? And I'm going to tell you the reason before I close.
You need our fear of God needs to step up, folks. And thou shalt talk of them. Don't you never say them what? Them words.
I love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my will, with all my strength. And I love, you know, my neighbor as I love myself. You see, we talk of them.
When you sit in your house, everybody say one. When you walk, by the way, everybody say two. When you lie down, everybody say three. When you rise, everybody say four.
At least four times every day.
Look at the... Thank you. Thank you. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Look at the precision of that instruction. It leaves no room. For misunderstanding. That's why the Holy Ghost is very particular. He was very precise. So that you won't say you didn't know. He said, when you get up, you talk about it. When you are going to sleep, you talk about it. When you are walking along the way, you talk about it. When you sit in your house, he's telling you to literally put it in your mouth day and night. And I'm going to tell you the reason why in a minute. He said, talk. He didn't say think. He says you will think too. But he said, talk of them. He said, precision instruction given. Prof, listen to this. Given by the same person that made the electrons and the DNA. You see, I now joined the thing together. Let's talk about the fear of God. Based on the awesome reverence for God. Based on the awesome things he has done in creation. I now took that same awesomeness now and applied it to the Bible. The person that made your DNA. The person, watch this, Brother Shay. The person that made the planets go in precise elliptical orbits is talking. And he tells you, talk of them. When you are walking, by the way, when you are sitting down, when you are going to bed, when you wake up in the morning, and you, with your puny brain, I said that deliberately. Your brain too is a marvel. That's what they were studying. But I don't want to go into that. That's another message. We should preach a message on the brain. Pastor, Brother James will give me some inside information. You know, he was telling me something. They were doing their research. But, you know, you with your finite mind, now question the wisdom of the author of DNA. And say, you can't really mean that. I can't do that. How can I do it when I get up, when I start? And it's too much something. I'll do it once in a while. I'll do it in the morning. I'll do it in the night. The person that made, look at the orbits. It never fails. The sun, the earth goes round the sun. It's always 365 point something days every year. That's why you now know you are in December. It's afternoon now. In another few hours, you will not see light anymore. Because the earth is rotating about its axis with a 24-hour precision that cannot be faulted. Then this same person now tells you, put my word in your mouth. Morning, afternoon, when you walk by the way, and you say, no, that's too much trouble. I can't do that. You don't fear him. If you fear him to that degree, you will obey his instructions. with the same precision that you see of his instructions in orbit. Look at scientists. They're now trying to look. What's the name of that thing? Omicron? What's the new one? Is it Micron? Omicron. Okay. They're doing the PCR test. I'll just give you a little knowledge. You know, can you do genome sequencing? Is this genetic thing also? It is with that genome sequencing that they can now tell. So when they're going to do, if you do an antigen test, you can't see it with that. But there's a PCR test where you can now get the genome sequencing of the particular strain of the COVID-19. That's how you can distinguish whether it is Omicron or whether it's Delta. The reason why America and England are panicking is they saw what happened the other time. This time they are not prepared to take any chances. And say, well, you know, it may not be a, we don't know. So the scientists in Oxford and Cambridge and MIT and all the places around, you know, all the different pharmaceutical companies, they are now racing to do the genome sequencing of this Omicron variant to find out its transmission rate, how it infects, and its severity. No, but the little information they've got, because the thing just started last week. We don't have enough data yet. Iran, I'm be sorry. Look, just minimize movement. Minimize things until we can get more genome sequencing to be able to know how this one compares with the ones that we have seen before. And one guy from, I think it was Moderna, is either Moderna, one of the companies anyway, either AstraZeneca, I can't remember which one. He made this statement, because I keep a close tab on the news, because I pray about these things, and also so I'm not ignorant. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. So, he said this. It would take them, Brother Williams, you guys in research, at least 100 days for them to be able to tweak the vaccines that we currently have so that it can address the genome sequencing of this Omicron. So that's why in many places that they're not taking any chances. So let's wait. And let's see what comes out from the lab. So we will now know whether, you know, okay, it's just a small thing. It's going to be mild. It will not be able to, nobody knows that yet. The point I am making is this. The God we are dealing with is so wise. He is so wonderful that he's given man the opportunity and the ability and the wisdom to be able to know how to deal with some of these things. Where would we be? We're waiting for the glory's coming. But between where and when the glory comes, we need medical science. I just heard, I'm not going to mention the name, one important man of God in America. I just saw it today on my phone. He died. He died November 30. I actually met him once. He didn't know who I was. I didn't know who he was. We were on the plane together. We're coming back. He was coming to Nigeria to come and preach. But I'd seen him on television. So I looked at him. I wasn't sure it was him. You know, I was sitting like this, you know. And he was with his daughter. You know, and so he, you know. And I think I was in the business class. You know, and there was a problem or anything. So the daughter was a very nice girl, you know. So I think she got up for somebody, you know, and, you know, helped the person. And then they were sitting almost right next to me, you know. So I now asked him, I said, are you XYZ? He said, yes, I am. I said, well, you look like that guy on television. I wasn't sure whether it was you. So, and we, you know, bantered, we exchanged something. You know, he told me about what we came to do in Nigeria and everything. He's dead. It hit me. He's one of the faith people, believe God, everything.
He's probably about my age. If he's older than me, maybe a few years. Maybe 2-3 years, no more than that.
The fear of God
is the instruction of wisdom. There's another scripture. My wife loves this scripture. She's always quoting it to our house girls, everybody.
Take first hold of instruction.
For she's what? You're dealing with the person who created life and death. Well, he created life, and man's disobedience brought about death. And he's telling you how to live.
Take first hold of instruction.
So, these two instructions, the one for prayer in the spirit, and then this one for obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And then we'll quickly look at these other things. How many people are getting something from this? You know, God has an important... Deuteronomy chapter 30. And look at verse 14. That's why he told us to talk about it.
He said, but the word is very nigh thee. In thy what? And in thy... That thou mayest...
This is written by the guy who made DNA. I keep making that connection because, you see, that's how you can really understand the fear of God and how you can, it will inspire you to take instruction seriously. This written by the man, the person who made DNA, the person who made the planets. When he tells you to do something, do it exactly the way he said to do it because he knows what he's talking about.
Thou shalt talk of them.
Because when you talk, you release spiritual power. And it is that spiritual power that is going to enable you to do the word of God. You cannot do the word of God by natural power. The word of God gets out of your mouth, you're going to get into disobedience. It's as simple as that. Because you just won't have the power to do the right thing. You may know it. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another. So you cannot do the things you would. The reason why so many Christians are walking in the flesh is because they're not walking in the spirit by obeying this instruction. The word of God is not in their mouth. It is not in their mouth. Watch this. It is not in their mouth when they sit, by the way. It is not in their mouth when they lie down. It is not in their mouth when they go to bed. And it is not in their mouth when they get up. And the guy is expecting to have obedience. He's not going to have it. He's going to walk in the flesh. I can't get it clearer than that. Now let me move on. I'm beginning to close. I don't know. God will help me. Now, why? Why must we increase the fear of God in this hour, in this prophetic context, in this time of the fulfillment of present prophetic truth? There are two main reasons why it has become urgent and critical. Number one, it is those that fear God that are going to be spared when God comes back in the fire of the church, in this fire of judgment. Because of time, let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Then I'll just quote some other scriptures. So, Pastor Olubi, you're making me afraid. I'm doing my job. That's exactly what God wants me to do. To put the fear of God into you. To increase it. Not a wrong kind of fear, irreverence. So that you won't mess around with God's word. So you will not treat instruction lightly. Like mommy said, so you would take fast hold for instruction because she's thy life. What does that mean? The implication is that if you don't take fast hold of it or you take a loose hold of it and you let it slip, it can cause you your death. Nobody said amen. I have to speak in our language. What I'm saying to them is that it's not a curse. I'm just telling you the consequence of not holding fast to instruction. That's why he told you to hold fast to it. Because if you don't hold fast to it and you let it go, it will cause death. Everybody say amen. You, now, don't your neighbor say you will live, you will not die. Pastor, I'm not saying you will die. I am saying that if you don't hold fast to instruction, you will die. You can't say amen. Say amen. You know, people don't like to hear the truth. If you don't hold fast to instruction, it can lead to death. So what do you do? Hold fast to instruction. I didn't hear you all. Amen. Thank you. Thank God for a mommy in the house. Oh yeah, mommy, what do you tell them? Everybody say, I. No, don't make it we. Because that one gives room for. the instruction for the message is increase your fear of God. God said, don't make it general. Say, I will hold fast to instruction. So I will live and I will not die. In Jesus' name. Amen. He didn't see. Thank God for mommy. That's why they don't like prophets. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1-3. Then I'm going to quote some other verses, scriptures, and then we're going to jump to verses 16-17 and then 18. This is the first reason. Behold, I will send my messenger. That's a prophetic messenger. I'm not going to go into all of that. He shall prepare. This has already happened, though. Prepare the way. I was a part of that move. I'm not the only one. Since it has been happening, actually, since the 1930s, 1920s, the 1950s, people like SGL, God sent them ahead. And I became a part of that movement, you know, about 30, 40 years ago, you know, to go and prepare the way and tell the church, Jesus is coming. Not just coming in the rapture, he's coming for a glorious church without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. And we have, but the grace of God which is with me, you know, and others have prepared the way. We have talked about repentance, what I'm preaching now, the fear of God, prayer, all these things. We've prepared the way. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Now, that one hasn't happened. That's the one we're expecting now. This is not the suddenly of Pentecost of Acts chapter 2. This is the suddenly of tabernacles. That's another message. I'll preach it next year. Even the messenger of the covenant. Observe that it's different from the first messenger. The first messenger was to prepare the way. The second messenger is a messenger of the covenant. Let me contextualize it and make it simple for you to understand. The first messenger was a prophetic messenger. The second messenger is an apostolic messenger. If you are able to receive, receive. If you can't receive it, go and dwell on it. You'll find it so. Whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, said the Lord. You see, in the apostolic messenger, Christ will come in them. In the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He said, the Lord whom is will come. He's going to come in us. This is not rapture. This is God coming in his fullness and in his glory to the church so that they would do the works Jesus did and greater. Verse 2. But who? Big question. Mama. Mommy, any mommy want? I'm going to do my job. Then mommy will look after you after. After the service, go and meet mommy. Mommy will comfort you. But me, I'm going to do my job. But who may abide the day of his coming? It's a rhetorical question. It means the day of his coming is going to be a terrible day. Who may abide? The day of his coming. Who shall stand when he appeareth? There's a reason why he said so. For he is like a refiner's fire.
Everybody wants the glory to come. But you don't realize that when the glory comes, it's going to come with a fire. And that fire is going to be a fire of judgment. Let me make it simple. It's a refiner's fire. The thing about the refiner's fire is this. It refines gold and silver. But it burns wood, hay, and stubble. It's not the fault of the fire. It's the fault of the material. If the material is wood, is gold, silver, and precious stones, it's only going to refine them. But if the material is wood, and the material is hay, and the material is stubble, it's going to destroy them. I've told you, after the service, go and see mommy. She'll comfort you. But me, I'm going to do my job. Verse 3. For he's like a refiner's fire, like a fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi. That speaks of the priesthood. The other day I talked about sons and disciples. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. It means that the offering that they were offering before that time. Pastor G, these were the messages I preached in the late 90s. Anywhere I went, they would not invite me to come again. By the way, guy used to go with me. Once I go once, not. But they know you can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. It's not Olubi's word. You see Olubi's name there. No. It's God's word. Where did we see this refining again? Where did we? There's another scripture. This is Zechariah. Mommy, on my comfort one go. You know, by the time I finish this message, I trust God. The fear of God is going to increase. That's the assignment I was given. We fear God, though, but fear of God, yeah, oh man, step up. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Zechariah chapters 13, verses 7, 8, and 9. I'm not going to read 7. I won't read 7. I'll just read 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass in all the land, saith the Lord, that two parts. You see, I am your pastor and I love you. No bronze broken. No. Under my covering, under the sound of my voice, who will obey my instruction? You will be okay. But please, listen to me and do what I tell you. Not me, Olubi, but what the word of God tells you through me. This was coming. Pastor Uji. Hey, I look at the church and I just shake my head. People are living in a limbo. Mommy shared the other day about Lot's wife. But mommy shared a message here. And I came up and I said, as it was in the days of Lot, so it is today. Do you understand something? That the same spiritual climate that was in the time of Lot and Noah is the same spiritual climate we have now. The church, a lot of the people in the church are living in a fool's paradise. Honey, do you know what they were doing in the days of Lot? They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were buying and they were selling. And they were doing all the things. Life went on as normal. Until the day Lot left Sodom and it rained fire and brimstone. Pastor Lupi, you are making me afraid. I'm doing my job. And it shall come to pass in all the land, said the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part, this is what we see in Malachi, through the fire. And will refine them as silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Let's go back to Malachi. I'm going to quote this all I want because it's the New Testament, but I don't have time because God. You see, this day we are in, when the Lord comes in his fullness and in his glory, it's going to bring a judgment in the church. It's going to bring a separation. What is it going to separate? It's going to separate the gold and the silver from the wood, the earth, and the stubble. The gold and the silver is going to be refined. The wood, the earth, their works are going to be burned up. I'm not saying they're going to hell. I'm going to get there in a minute. You know? But you don't even want to play with that, because they are going to be saved, but so as by fire. In other words, they may make it, they may not make it. How many people remember what happened to Lot? You know, Lot was wood and stubble. It was the intercession of Abraham that saved Lot. And even then, he almost didn't make it. How many people remember? Whenever you hear saved by fire, just think about Lot. The angel literally had to drag him. He was so used to Sodom. And his wife, the two shall be one. So half of Lot was lost. Her heart was so much in Sodom, she looked back. And she became a pillar of salt. You know, Papa Rav, who preached this to us many, many years ago, I said, you can imagine what Lot felt when he felt the hand of his wife. It was no longer warm and fleshy. It now went cold. Then it became dust and powder. Lot could not dare. I said, darling, how are you? He just kept looking forward. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. That's why you need to increase your fear of God. It's a terrible statistic. 66.67% are cut off. That's why Malachi, let's get back to Malachi. Go back to Malachi chapter 3 now. That's why Malachi said, who shall stand? You know why? Many were going to fall. Now, it's not the will of God. But they didn't listen to the prophets. We've been preaching this thing now. I've been 30 years, 35, 40 years. Prophetic. Prophetic. God, you know, tell me about prosperity and all that. He's coming. And when he comes, he's coming as a fire. And that fire will refine the gold and the silver. And he's going to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Will they go to hell? Many will not go to hell like Lot. But who wants to be Lot for God's sake? I don't want to be Lot. And I certainly don't want to be Lot's wife. Lot made it, his wife didn't. He and his two girls made it. Then they slept with their father. And Lot became the father of Amalek and Moab. God forbid bad things. Went to heaven, but lost his inheritance. He suffered loss. That, sadly, is the destiny. It's not what God planned, but is the destiny many Christians have chosen by going the way of Lot. They will go to heaven, but they will suffer loss. And alas, alas, there may be a few who will not even go to heaven. Because they are saved, so as by fire. Somebody asked a rhetorical question. It came to my spirit now. I've never asked it before. But I'm saying it now because it just came to my spirit from the Holy Ghost now. Where did Lot's wife go? It was not heaven. Don't play with those things. Fast hold of instruction, for she is thy life. Let's get back to Malachi. Am I talking to anybody here? So, this is why. Now, look at how God says it. Look at verse 16. God is saying the same thing in a different way of Malachi chapter 3. This is why you want to fear God. In fact, this is the inspiration for this message. It came out of my meditations on these scriptures. Then the Holy Spirit now blew it up for me into this message that you're hearing now. Increasing the fear of God. Increasing your fear of God. He said, don't make it thee. He said, make it your. So you're talking to each of them as an individual. Now you know what he said? Verse 16. Watch this. Then they that what? Who? Then that feared the Lord. Now, let's put it in context. Prophetic context. Let's say it like this. They that reverenced, had a reverential fear and respect for God and His Word, and held fast to instruction and kept His instruction. Interpret it like that, you get the correct interpretation. They that feared God, that had a fear of God in their heart, and then followed it up by practice of instructions. That's the people he's talking to. Not just those who just say with their mouth, and that's where it ends. They that feared the Lord, who obeyed the instruction of wisdom, spoke often. I didn't hear you. One to another. It happens all the time. When we finish service like this, I'll go to my office. Our pastors will come, we'll talk. I say, we're just fulfilling the scripture. And the Lord hearkened. I didn't hear you. And heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. Again, who had reverence in their heart and were practicing obedience to the instructions of wisdom. And that thought on his name. Do you know that's what we do every morning? I choose to fear God. So I humble myself by submitting to the will of God. When I don't feel like it. Especially in prayer. Knowing the certainty of his judgment and chastening if I disobey. And the security of his mercy when I obey. I love God with all my heart, my will, my mind, emotions. I have more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. So I think, speak, feel, and act like God. As I pray, and in every circumstance, situation, what are you doing? You're thinking on His name. That's a direct fulfillment of that scripture. Very, very specific. They feared God, they kept the instruction, and they thought on His character. Now, you know what God says about those people? They shall be mine. Remember Zechariah chapter 13, said, they shall be my people. Said the Lord of hosts, in that day, don't your neighbor say, that day is this day, oh. When I make up my jewels, precious stones, gold, silver, and I will spare them from the cutting off. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. The fire is going to be so severe that it's going to take the mercy and the grace of God to even spare the righteous. Exactly. He says, if the righteous... He said, where will we find the ungodly and sinner?
Sister Lola did send something to the group a few days ago. In fact, I should get that thing because it was a word of encouragement, you know, after I preached also to comfort and to encourage the people. And I really like it. He said, we must not allow ourselves to be offended. He said, but if you are offended with the footmen, what are you going to do when the horses come? Very quiet in the church. I think I'm getting the right effect. Then shall you return and discern. That's the good news. See, a lot, some of the people who fell off, they will come back. Everybody say, praise God. But I'm not going to be one of them. They said they will return. See, they left because they were cut off. Two-thirds shall be cut off, but they will return. You know, like the prodigal son. They will come back, they will be saved, but so as by fire, but they will lose inheritance. No inheritance. Okay. Don't let that be your portion. The second reason, we're closing. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're closing. Mommy, Emma, bam, me comfort one after the message. Immediately, everybody just go and meet mommy. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This is the second reason. The first reason why you want to fear God now, increase your fear of God now, is so that you will be a part of that group where the Bible says that, you know, they that fear the Lord, they thought upon his name, said, I will spare them as a man spare, so that you, when the fire comes, when the Lord comes and fire comes, you will be one of those that will be refined and you will not be destroyed. That's why you want to fear God now. Increase your fear of God now with the attitude of reverence and obedience, practicing of instruction. Now, the second reason is what we find in verse chapter 4. For behold, I didn't hear you. The day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud. Turn to your neighbor, say, humility is not an option. It's compulsory. The proud are not going to make it. They're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. All the proud. Yay. All that do wickedly. You know this wickedly. When you see it, you always, these people who drink beer. You know, and people who steal government money. The Bible says that in Psalm 50, that when you cast instruction behind you, it is wickedness. I've given this illustration before over the years. A pilot is coming into Lagos. They phone him, you know, they radio him from control tower and say, there's a sandstorm coming, you know, over Kano. Please veer 2 degrees left and go altitude 50 degrees, you know, 5,000 feet up so you can avoid the altitude. The guy has flown this thing maybe 100 times. He knows the place very well. This is the normal route he takes. But an instruction has come from the control tower that have present, they have present information about the geographical condition. So that pilot says, don't mind them. That's what they always do in Lagos. You know, just ignore them. You know, I've driven this thing so many times. You know, keep it on autopilot. You know, we'll go through the altitude we're going through. When I start approaching Lagos, I will dip, which is what he does all the time. So he refuses that instruction because of his pride. Same thing happens to Christians. So he now runs into the sandstorm and the plane crashes. People die. That's wickedness because he cast instruction behind him. It happens in the spirit realm all the time. People will not obey instruction. So he said, all they that do wickedly, can put it like this way, all they that do not obey instruction, all they that don't fear God and that don't obey instruction, shall be stubble. I didn't hear you. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that he shall leave them neither root nor branch. Lot. But unto you, good news. Let's stick with the good news. But unto you,
that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise. Oh, glory to God. With what? Healing in his wings. The people that fear God, not only will they be spared and they will be refined, they will inherit the borrowed anointing. So that with the Son of Righteousness will arise in them with healing in his wings. They will heal the sick. They will cleanse the leper. They will raise the dead consistently and instantly. They will take God's healing power to the nations. So that his healing grace, his healing power may be known, Psalm 67. His healing, verse 2, his healing power may be known among the nations. That's what's going to happen. So these are the two reasons that should motivate you to increase your fear of God. Number one, to be spared so that you can go through the fire that is coming and it will refine you and not destroy you. Number two, so that the Son of Righteousness will arise in you with healing in his wings, so you can take that healing power to the nations, every tongue, tribe, and tribe. You won't go to every tongue, tribe. You know, some people will go to this place, some people will go to this place, but by the time all of us do it, all the tongues and tribes and kingdoms will be covered with healing power. Instant, consistent healing of the sick. Consistent, you know, cleansing of lepers. Consistent raising of the dead. Now, in closing, I got to close. How many people still love me? Give me a nice wave offering. Amen. I didn't look up, so I don't know who waved and who didn't wave. How? I'm going to give you two scriptures and I'm going to close. Or two quotations and I'm going to close. All these things are inside our book, so I'm not preaching anything new. But it's just the urgency of the moment. Because it's just around the corner. You know, the urgency of the moment that God, the Holy Spirit, has instructed me to give this message, you know, to increase your fear of God. Not Pastor Sarah's fear of God. Not Pastor Olubi's fear of God. Your own fear of God. Personal. Number one, daily self-judgment by the word, the blood, the word, and spirit. You should do this every day. I didn't say self-condemnation, I said self-judgment. Every day! This is a scripture you should pray. Father, I judge myself. I condemn. It's in all our prayer books. But I'm going to read it. You know, I actually wrote it out. Even though I'm the one who wrote it originally, I still wrote it out for these notes. You know, I judge myself. I didn't hear you. And I condemn my wicked actions and attitudes. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Of omission and commission hitherto. I receive mercy unto eternal life to soften my heart, to enable me to repent and to be faithful, receiving wisdom and instruction, and have victory and triumph over judgment. Do it daily. No matter how good we are, we can always be better. See, it's not a condemnation. It's to for refinement. I'm doing well, but I want to do better. I'm doing well, but I want to do much better. So daily, I judge myself. I never miss it all. I judge myself every day. I don't condemn myself. Observe the language. I condemn my wicked actions. I don't condemn myself. It says he has condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus has already taken my condemnation. So I judge myself. I agree that what I did was wrong. But I did it because of the sin nature that was in me. So instead of condemn myself, I condemn that sin nature. Watch this. Then I crucified by praying the Spirit. That's why I take up my cross daily. So I crucify the sin nature in me that caused me to do the wrong things I did. I don't spare it. Thank God for two amens. The second thing, which we know, I've quoted it already earlier on today. Every day, choose the fear of God. More of the fear of God. I choose to fear God, so I humble myself. I'm already humble, but I'm going to get more. I want more of the fear of God. I submit myself to the will of God, even when I don't feel like it. Especially in prayer, knowing the certainty of his judgment. I was joking, I'm going to close now. I was joking with David, you know, any writer,
who stays with me, you know, this morning, he did something. He didn't do it deliberately. It was a mistake, you know. So I said, what should I do to you? Pastor, do you? So he said, mercy. But he doesn't know the Bible as well as I do. So I said, remember that God had mercy on David, but he still chastened him. Mercy will not do away with chastening. It will only reduce it. By the fear of God, men depart from evil. Mercy will not, you will not die. God told David, you're not going to die. I've given you my word in Psalm 89. If your children, if they disobey me, he said, I will chasten them with rod, but nevertheless, my loving kindness, so there will be mercy. But there will be a chastening. That's why it is the certainty. Everybody says the certainty of his judgment, but the security of his mercy. It makes disobedience unattractive, and it makes obedience attractive. Stand to your feet. Mommy, one baba you. Everybody, after service, just go to mommy. She will comfort you. She will comfort you. Me, this apostolic anointing I'm operating on. I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, sing it with me.
Please forgive me.
And I have believed in a lie.
And I have believed in a lie.
That you were unable.
That you were unable to help me.
But now.
Lord,
I see my wrong.
Heal my heart.
And show yourself strong.
And in my heart,
and in my song, oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, you too small in my eyes. That's our problem. We don't fear God enough. We don't fear Him enough. Oh, please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
And I have believed in a lie.
And I have believed in a lie. That you were unable.
Stop singing. Stop. I'm sorry. We're going to pick it up. I just got into it. I've been singing this song for years. Mommy, we've been singing it for years. I just got something. You know, when we sing this thing, you know what's in our mind? I've made it too small in my eyes, you know. I have believed in the lie that you're unable. We're always thinking, I don't believe that God can help me to be victorious. You know, God can help me to overcome my problem or give me money or something like that. That's, keep it in its context. The Holy Ghost just said, stop. Let them know. I have believed in a lie that you are unable to help me hold fast to instruction. People say, I can't do that. Oh, it's too hard. Oh, I can't pray every day. You know, I can't do morning, afternoon. I can't do that. It's a lie. God can help you. Keep it in his context. God can help you to obey instruction. Now let's sing it. From the beginning, I have made you too small in my eyes.
I have made you too small in my eyes.
In a lie,
yes, a lie,
that
you were unable to help, but now, glory to God.
Now.
see my wrong.
Heal my heart.
Heal my heart. And show yourself strong. Oh Lord, be magnified.
Be magnified.
Oh Lord, be magnified.
Be magnified. Glory to God.
Be magnified. Oh Lord.
You are highly exalted. Lord.
Oh Lord,
my eyes
are on you.
Be magnified.
Oh Lord, be magnified. Glory to God. Your forehead represents your eyes, your mind. Spiritual battles are won or lost in the mind. See, God told us with all your heart, with all your mind. God knows that initially He won't be with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. But if you do what He said and you start talking of them when you get up, when you lie down, when you go by the way, when you go, you know, you pray in the spirit, you take up your cross daily, gradually you will start loving God with all of your heart. You will start loving Him with all of your mind. You will start loving Him with all of your strength. That's why He told you to do it, and He will help you. Now raise that hand. He will help you. Don't make Him too small in your eyes. The one that made the universe, the one that made the heavens, the one that made the DNA, it's not a difficult thing for Him to help you. He will help you. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess my sins, especially sins of a lack of fear of God, where I've not been obedient, where I've not been practicing instructions, where I've failed to hold fast to instruction. Oh God, have mercy on me. I receive your blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as I pray now. Father, I thank you for bringing me your word. Thank you for exalting me to increase my fear of you, so that when you come in your glory and in your fire, I'm going to be refined as gold and silver. Inherit the anointing of healing in my wings and not be destroyed. Father, thank you. It's because you love me that you brought me this message. For as many as you love, you rebuke and chasten. Thank you for the chastening word. Thank you for the word of instruction. Thank you. I appreciate it. And Lord, by your mercy and grace, will increase my fear of you, my reverence of you, and my practicing and holding fast to your instructions. In Jesus' name, amen. Nela kashakito fredele mink. Remotosko fridiko toloma shalaka. Father, thank you, Rabbi Gerdoloma toloma shalabrek. Lord Jesus, thank you. Rigo tolomotufre lengradalask. Lopridikor Vrenengio Shakaha. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Labrikito Frenengarsk. We thank you for your blood. Zoriko to Fridikro Frene. We thank you for your life, Rakadu Fre. We thank you for your spirit. Ningardala to your power. No Kurdolomashek. Rika Tolomato Frene. So Tolomato Fres. Tolomato Fres. Tolomato Fres. In Jesus' name. Just before we take the benediction, I didn't say something. I said it, but not explicitly. And the Holy Spirit wants to say, when you say God's word with your mouth, then pray in tongues. That's where the help comes. He's the helper. He will help you. When you pray in the Spirit, the power to do the thing, He will give it to you. The wisdom to do it, He will give it to you. That's why I say you should pray without ceasing. He will help you. You will be fine. Turn to your neighbor. Say, I'm looking at gold. I'm looking at silver. You will be refined. And you will arise with healing in your wings. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Philadelphia Church. No, look into Philadelphia Church. Often, just keep looking into it. The more you look into it, the more you know Philadelphia is love church.
Yes.
And there's something that Church of Brotherly Love. And there's something that I taught my children. I'm just going to say it. And my mom taught me. And it's spreading now. And Dara has it pasted on the wall in her house. Someone gave her as a gift. Character is beauty.
Iwalewa.
Character is beauty. And if you look at the Philadelphia Church, it says, to them that overcometh, He will make a pillar, house of the Lord, that will no more go out. And then He will write His name upon us. So let the Lord write His character. I'm beginning to see it with my daughters, you know. Carl, there was someone I was with yesterday, I was just observing, and I said, wow, Lord, I give you praise. It's happening. The Lord is changing us. The Lord is changing us. And they're sitting down quietly and, you know, just there. I'm just looking at the ladies. I'm just looking at the men. And I'm saying, Lord, it's happening. It's happening. You can't constantly be in the presence of God and not change. Hide yourself in the character of God. And don't worry, we all make it. Remember, I used to tell you that there was a time, Pastor would say, wake up. I would say, give me one more hour. But it's not like that again. I am changing. So if I can do it, you also can do it. Amen. Be encouraged.
Be encouraged. You're going to make it in Jesus' name. You know you're going to make it. You now know what to do. You will do it by the grace and the mercy of God. Father, we come to pray for all those who are watching online and who are also here. If you're watching online, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't speak in tongues, you need this. I'm going to pray for you. Just wherever you are, just pray this prayer quietly under your breath with sincerity in your heart. Say, Father, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I also believe He was raised again from the dead for my justification. I accept Him as Savior. I confess Him as my Lord, and I receive eternal life, divine nature into my spirit. Help me, Lord, to live for You, not to go back to a regular life of sin, but to serve You in righteousness and in holiness all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Father, I also come to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You said that You will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask You. Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. So I will speak in tongues, supernatural language, so I'll be able to communicate with You supernaturally. I receive it now in Jesus' name. And I expect to speak in tongues as I do the talking and as the Holy Spirit gives me the utterance now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just pray in spirit for a minute. Just do that. Raise your voice. You do the talking. The Spirit will give the utterance. Ramatala mashoko. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, Zofriningar dufresh. No fridinga. Lord Brikitofrede. Lombradask. Zafre. In Jesus' name. Father, we also pray for those who are looking to you for healing or any other kind of need or miracle. Lord, we ask that you come and meet them at their point of need now in Jesus' name. Let it be a token to them that you are a part of this whole exercise that they've been involved in, and help them to draw them. Let your goodness through these miracles lead them to repentance, to come to know you better in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. I said head and not tail. Amen. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your parents. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life for God satisfied. And show you his salvation. Even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts on you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn over and say, you increase your fear of God, and you hold fast to instruction. In Jesus' name, amen.